Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger. DJ Southeast Vince coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Afternoon. Good Saturday to you good people out there. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will have to give you a word of warning. Please be attentive to the aforementioned fruit bat alert. If you come in here and you want to dabble in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, trolling, calling in just to disrupt the program, gaslighting, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push a kick button and you will have a very short visit on this program. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, be respectful in your interactions on this program. And you should have a good experience here. Some of you all might be wondering, well, why are you having this show so early? You usually have your show at 5 o'clock. And let me get something done here. The show usually comes on at 5 o'clock, but you're here a little early. Well, I got an event to attend this evening. Someone has invited me to take pictures at this event. It's a banquet, and this is my third gig within about a month and a half, maybe, and I'm starting to wonder if this is going to become a regular thing, because a person has invited me. This is their second time inviting me. They were at the first time when I took pictures, and they were like, "Hey, Vincent, we want you to take pictures here." A couple of weeks ago, I was taking pictures of a nursing school that was opening up here in Durham, and it was somewhat of a kind of a big deal. You know, the mayor of Durham was out there, and you know, all types of people. It was a historic type of thing, and so this person, they wanted me to take pictures at this banquet tonight, which I think is going to be a little bit more formal. You know, I can't go in there in jeans or anything like that, but hey, that's how it is. But anyway, but that's why I'm having this show earlier today instead of at my usual 5 o'clock. Now, next Saturday, I won't be having a show because that's the first of the month, and I will not be having a show at the on the first Saturday of the month. So, but anyway, let us go on with the show. And oh man, it's been some events that have turned up this week. What's her name? Carly Russell, that gal in Birmingham, Alabama. It turns out that her story did not have a toenail to stand on, as a friend of mine likes to say. Turns out that she made up the whole story. And folks have been questioning her about, you know, what she went through and whatever. Some things didn't add up. 2 and 2 didn't equal 4, you know, things like that. And folks were like, wait a minute, something here is not adding up. And you had certain people talking about, well, if you're going to question this woman and whatever, y'all don't need to be questioning this woman because, you know, she's a black woman, and it's racist for you to question her motives. Robert, I'm early today because I got an engagement to attend this evening. Got to take some pictures at a banquet this evening, so that's why I'm here early. But getting back to Carly Russell, people were questioning her motives, or, you know, what actually went on with her disappearance. And because people were questioning it, you had the apostles of blackness. They get out there, they say, oh, y'all said she wasn't kidnapped and everything, and you must be racist. You know, our buddies at The Root, you know, the journalists, quote unquote, over at The Root, they were, you know, trying to question people and trying to make it like, and they were making like, oh, y'all just doing this because this is a black woman, and you know she's a beautiful black queen, and how dare you question her integrity. Well, turns out a lot of people who were so-called questioning her integrity, turns out they were right. Their hunches were right. It turns out it was a hoax. Now, we don't know what went on during that 48, 49 hours that she was missing, you know, and we need answers about that too, because, you know, folks were going out there, they were like, you know, hey, I got a child missing, and I'm going to help her family find out where she is and everything. And it took a lot of, it probably took a lot of resources, people's time, and found out that this girl had made the whole thing up. It was a hoax. And they're wondering if somebody else is involved in it too. I find it hard to believe that she would do this alone, or if it didn't involve someone else, but that's just me. But it turns out the whole thing was a hoax. And now she's facing possible 2 years in prison. Cause she's been charged with 2 counts. One was making up a story to the police. I forget what the other one was, but each count carries up to a year in prison, which I don't think she's going to do. Some people say, well, she might get a couple of months. I'm not even sure she's going to get a couple of months. You know, because of how screwed our justice system is. And I'm like, you know, wow. You know, you all remember that case back in the 1990s about that lady Susan Smith. You know, she said she was carjacked by a black man who kidnapped her two children, and found out she had drowned her children in a lake, and now she's basically spending life in prison right now. Now, a lot of people will be like, well, she got life. How come Carly Russell doesn't get life? Well, Carly Russell didn't kill anybody. You know, she didn't kill anybody. So, but she should do some jail time. She should. And I was telling my wife last night, I said, I'd give her 5 years. 5 years might be a little too much. I don't know. But, you know, if she does get at least 1 year, I think justice would have been served. You know, because this was just ridiculous. And you have people jumping two conclusions to defend her, because this was a black woman. They wanted to jump in and, oh, yeah, y'all should be questioning her. Y'all a bunch of racists and all that crazy mess. Turned out, homegirl was lying. Now, I don't know why she pulled off this hoax or why she thought she could get away with it or anything like that. You know, when the, you know, when the whole deal started, she said she saw a toddler on the side of the road. Was a it was a white male toddler. When I first heard white male toddler, I was like, okay, that sent up my red flags right there. White male toddler. Could it be that she got kidnapped by a white man? You know, I mean, that's how my mind went. And things weren't adding up. She said she was taken to a house. They took her clothes off, took pictures of her, and she managed to escape, and she ran through the woods. And when she came out of the woods, she just so happened to be in the neighborhood that she lived in, which begged the question, okay, if you just ran through the woods and you ended up in your neighborhood, why don't you tell the police which direction you ran through the woods, from which you ran through the woods? And maybe you can find the house or whatever that, you know, you were held captive in. A lot of stuff, it didn't add up. A lot of that stuff didn't add up. So now she's facing charges, and she could serve some jail time. I really don't think she's going to serve anything. I think they'll probably slap her on the hand, give her some probation. You know, that's just me. I could be wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say that it won't happen, but I won't be surprised if it doesn't. So all you black people out there always want to jump to the defense of your fellow black tangs and quines. Y'all need to dial it down a bit, because you don't live in a racist nation. And all this stems from people thinking, oh, anything bad happens to a black person, or any suspicion on a black person of committing something or doing something that's not, you know, kosher or whatever, oh, the people who are criticizing this black person must be a racist. And so now the people at the root, they've done a about face, and now they're coming down on this girl for faking this. When they were the ones who questioned her, you know, they were questioning the integrity of the people who were questioning her. When people said, we didn't see a toddler out there. Oh, yeah, y'all say you didn't see a toddler. How are you going to say you didn't see a toddler? Well, we did. I saw the video myself. If you saw a toddler on the side of the road, first of all, the road that she was riding on, I mean, that she was driving on, it was kind of busy. And you see a toddler on the side of the road, you're not going to drive up the road another half mile before you stop and look for this toddler. And from the video, I didn't see a toddler. Well, it was dark out there. Of course, no, there was no toddler. And of course, we know the story now that she lied. So, but those of you all, the apostles of blackness, mainstream, liberal black America, y'all need to dial it down. Y'all, you all are getting very ridiculous. And see, the bad thing about this is, let's say someone else, another black person, does a Carly, another I forgot her last name already. Let's say another black person does a Carly again. They'll probably jump to conclusions once again to say, you all should not question this black person, you know, who has gone through this event or whatever. But they'll sit there, and see, this is the thing about it. The apostles of blackness and the liberals are the only people that I can say you can cry wolf 1 million times, and they will believe there's a wolf every single time. They won't learn their lesson from this. They're not going to learn their lesson from this. They're, you know, But this is the type of men, they always want to jump to conclusions. Someone questions a black person about their integrity. Oh, you're questioning their integrity because you are a racist. And race didn't play a part in this. It was just people questioning, hey, wait a minute. Something here doesn't add up, young lady. You said this happened, but this is not adding up. And that doesn't come from racism. That's based on an assumption. And we all know what the definition of an assumption is. The assumption is the lowest form of knowledge. You assume. But you don't really know what really happened. But the problem with a lot of people is they'll take their assumption, and because they assume something, they'll just go ahead and say that their assumption confirms the truth, and it doesn't. An assumption is based on opinion, not truth. An opinion can be right or wrong. Truth is always right. But this is going to continue to happen. It's going to continue to happen. Let's say a couple of months down the way, something happens, boom, it's going to happen again. And the reason why I say this is because we see cases involving white folks and black folks, you know, especially with the police and whatever, you know, the Michael Brown case. Everyone was like, oh, he had his hands up, and he told the police officer, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot. But it was proven that his hands were not up, and he did not tell the police officer not to shoot. But you know what? There are people who still believe to this day that Michael Brown had his hands up and told Darren Wilson not to shoot. Any incident involving a black person and a white person where the black person meets a negative consequence, they're always going to question the integrity of the white person, saying that person must have been a racist. George Zimmerman, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor, the list goes on and on and on. And they will tell everybody else, don't you jump to conclusions. You don't know what happened. Well, then you need to bring that same type of rhetoric to your own front door. See, it's kind of hypocritical for you to sit there and tell someone else not to jump to conclusions, but then you jump to conclusions. That's the problem. But Miss Carly Russell, I wish her the best. You know, pray for her. You know, she got something mental going on up there, you know. But she needs prayer. But folks, when another case like this happens, we shouldn't jump to conclusions. We remember Jussie Smollett, you know, I'm over here about to say Jussie Smollett, you know, but Jussie Smollett, we remember Bubba Wallace, but yet and still, these incidents keep happening, and we keep taking the side of our black brothers and sisters. And this needs to stop. Now, I saw a video of another case the other day. I forget where it was. I probably should have prepared it for this show or whatever. I forget where this case was. But the police had pulled over this guy. He was driving an 18-wheeler, black guy. Here you go. They pulled him over because he had a mud flap missing. And for some reason, this guy didn't stop for the police, so they had to initiate the rumble strips. And I don't know why this guy didn't stop. You're driving an 18-wheeler, you're driving for a company, and you didn't stop. Why didn't you stop? All you had to do was stop. But in this case, I think there's enough blame to go around. First, the driver, he didn't stop for the police. But when he got out, you know, I saw the video, he had his hands up, and he was, you know, he was in the stature of surrender. And someone brought the canine unit over. And I'm sitting there like, why are you bringing a dog out to this? The guy is not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And you can even hear some of the police officers saying, don't use the dog. Don't use the dog. Don't. And then when the guy stick the dog on him, they're like, oh, my goodness, get the dog off of him. And one person was like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he stick the dog on this guy. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, why did they bring out the canine unit? The guy was already in a surrender. He didn't run or anything like that. Why did you bring it? And see, folks, once again, they can use this and say, see, white cops, black people, white cops are racist. Black people are innocent victims. I mean, the dude, all he had to do was pull over. That's all he had to do. All they were going to do was question him about the missing mud flaps. That's all they were going to do. I don't know if this guy had some other charges pending or had a warrant out against him, but all they pulled him over for was a missing mud flap, which is against regulations. And this is another case in which a person, if they would just comply with the police, it won't turn into some massive conflagration where the person getting pulled over ends up getting killed. And this is the reason why a lot of people go out there and say, if a white person was doing this, they take him to Burger King, but a black person do it, he'll end up dead, which is not true. There are hundreds, thousands of stories out there that you can compare and see that is not the truth, but that's just the talking point people want to go along with because, you know, I'm black and, you know, white people don't like me and they're going to do this. And, you know, they got a quota. They got a quota for black people. As if the police go out there and say, that's not a black person, huh? Let's see. You know what? I didn't meet up with any black people this week. Okay, we're going to have to check this one off because I need to get my black quota up to par. No. Cut that garbage out. But I saw that. I said, oh, my goodness, there's a lot of blame to go on both sides, really. They should have called the K-9 unit. And, dude, all he had to do was pull over. That's all he had to do. He wasn't even driving his personal car. He was driving a company truck. But anyway, let me go on to the story I really wanted to go on today. And caller, I see you there. I see you got your hand up. Give me a while. Just stay put. I'll get back with you, okay? Just stay put. But sometimes people come in here and they'll raise their hand, and after a few minutes, they'll just click on off and everything, you know. But just stay put. I'm going to get to you. My wife and I, over the past maybe year, couple of years, a lot of times we'll go to YouTube and we'll pull up certain people's videos. And there's this guy, his name is Greg, but he's the host of a channel called Black Conservative Perspective. He's from North Carolina, which is where I am. And, of course, he's a black conservative. You know, he's a coon. He's a coon. Oh, how can you be black and a conservative? Conservatives don't like black people. Yeah, go ahead. You know, whatever. But he does some pretty good videos. The only thing I have against him is he tends to go off with the four letter words. He tends to go off with the vernacular. Expletive field vernacular, which, you know, I guess that's his way of doing things. You know, I don't like to cuss. I don't like to use the four-letter words or anything like that. anybody who listens to this program, they know I don't go into, even when I might be a little passionate or whatever, I don't use expletives. I don't use cussing, because I don't think cussing is a way to get your point across. Some people think it does. Hey, you do you, you know, that's fine. But he does some excellent videos, very down to earth and whatever. And he did a video yesterday. Now, you all heard about, you know, Ron DeSantis and, you know, his curriculum for Black History Month. You know, the apostles of blackness got their panties in a bind. Once again, because they think he's trying to ban Black history, and he is not. I can guarantee you, you can go down into the state of Florida, which is my favorite state. I love Florida. You can go down into the state of Florida, teach Black history. Not one person will give you a hard time about it. Not unless you're telling an untruth, a lie. That's the only time when people will give you a problem with it. But they're saying, oh, they're trying to ban Black history, you know, and Ron DeSantis is leading the way and, you know, and things like that. And so, first of all, this all stems from the fact, okay, Ron DeSantis is a conservative. A lot of us have been conditioned to think that conservatives are bad. Conservatives are misogynistic, conservatives are racist, conservatives don't like old people, things of that sort. So we've been conditioned to believe that, so that when Ron DeSantis does something like this, they can say, oh, it's because he's a racist. But they have no proof. They have no proof the man is a racist. But they'll try to say, well, this is a dog whistle, you know. Yeah, this is a dog whistle for all the white supremacists out there. Now, if you ask me, the only thing that can hear a dog whistle is a dog. I'm just saying. The only thing that can hear a dog whistle is a dog. See, person unclicked off. You know, I told them stay put, you know. But They'll say these things like, you know, with this Jason Aldean song, you know, my wife has played this song so many times it stuck in my head, you know. Try that in a small town, people saying, oh, that's racist because he was performing in front of a courthouse where a lynching took place in 1927, 100 years ago, almost. How many other courthouses had lynchings take place? You know, and they want to go into this song and say this is a dog whistle for white supremacists. Only problem is the so-called white supremacists haven't picked up on that dog whistle. Seems to be people who are critical of that song. So tell me, who are the dogs? Once again, you know, had a guy come up on here and he said, you know, people like me are black comfort dogs for white conservatives. But only you can hear the dog whistle. Tell me who the dog is. But anyway, I digress. But, you know, they said that Ron DeSantis made a statement that black people benefited from slavery. And they were trying to make it like that Ron DeSantis was saying that slavery was a good thing for black people. And maybe some even have in their minds that, hey, it would be good if black people went back into slavery. That's probably their mode of thinking. That's probably their mode of thinking. Now, Ron DeSantis did not say slavery benefited black people. What he was saying, without me saying it verbatim, he was saying that when slavery ended, the former slaves, they took the skills that they learned and put them to their personal benefit. That's what he was saying. And folks got their panties in a bind. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what Ron DeSantis said? Did you hear what he said? But it turns out, it turns out that for one thing, black people did take what they learned in slavery and use it to their benefit. That's why some years later, about 60 something years later, you know, you had a place in Oklahoma City called Black Wall Street. You know, the Black Wall Street, everyone keeps whining about, they burned down Black Wall Street. And probably 10 years ago, nobody knew about no Black Wall Street in Oklahoma. Maybe a few people did. But here in the past few years, they want to push this Black Wall Street thing and use that as an example of white supremacy. When Black Wall Street, you know, the incident that happened in Black Wall Street in Oklahoma City happened in 1921, before most of us were even born. Now, what they don't tell you about Black Wall Street was after that incident, it was built back up and it continued to prosper into the 1960s. They're not going to tell you that. It amazes me. You know, last week, this brother who comes on my show all the time named Pianchi, he shared with me this guy. He was a black guy and he owned a car dealership. If I can pull that up. But he was saying this dude owned a car dealership. This was a black guy in the 1920s, I believe it was. And I'd never heard of this guy before. Never. And my question is, why in the world are these stories of black success always being suppressed? Now, the apostles of blackness will tell you that it's being suppressed by the white supremacists. If that's the case, then how come you're not sharing these stories? How come you're not sharing these stories? We live in the freaking United States of America. This information should be easy for everyone to get a hold of. But if we don't know to look for it, we're not going to look for it. So how come you all didn't share these stories? And I have a theory on why they don't share these stories of black success. Because it'll show that black people don't need help from the white man. The white man can come and stop them, try to stop them or whatever, but if they have enough determination, they can still make something of themselves, become a success. But see, I don't think the apostles of blackness want that story to get out because they want to continue to perpetuate this state of victimhood on the rest of the country and say, well, you know, we can't do anything because the white man is holding us back. So we're going to go to our government and ask our government to give us reparations and give us free stuff and everything so we can get a leg up on everybody else because we can't do it on our own. That's why I think these stories are suppressed by black folks. No one taught me about this guy who had a car dealership, this black guy who had a car dealership. Not one person taught it to me. The first time I heard about it was last week. That was the first time I heard about it. And why are these stories being suppressed? I'm trying to pull up my Facebook page because it's another story about this family living today. Let me do this. I want to pull this up. Maybe I can play a clip for you. But they're always telling us that black people cannot be successful because we live in a white supremacist nation, and they're always trying to suppress what black folks are doing and making it their own. I'm going to see if I pull this story up. But this dude on the Black Conservative Perspective, oh, man, he went off. He went off because it turns out the AP, I think it's the accepted performance The AP history. Let me pull this up. My goodness. See, this is what happens when you don't prepare, when you don't prepare for your program properly. And I'm going to still try to pull up that story of that family. Advanced place is advanced placement program for history. It's called an AP history program. And turns out they were basically saying the same thing that Ron DeSantis had said. But oh no, Ron DeSantis is a conservative, so he must have said it because he's a racist. But you have this liberal AP history program, advanced placement history program, they've been saying the same doggone thing for years, long before Ron DeSantis even said it. But no outrage then. No outrage until Ron DeSantis said it, because we are conditioned to believe that Ron DeSantis is a racist. So if he's going to say something like this, it's because he's saying it because he's a racist and he doesn't like black people. But the AP history program have been saying it for years, saying the same doggone thing, but no outrage. Now, there is a little modicum of truth in that slavery benefited black people. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get this thing twisted, because I know some of you all out there will say, oh, yeah, this is said that slavery benefited black people. No, slavery was not a good thing. Taking people, you know, and forcing them to work in hard labor under the sun with no pay or whatever, no, it was not a good thing. But see, Brother Man here is also a born-again Christian. And I believe that whatever the devil makes for your bad, God can turn it around and use it to benefit. And sad to say, a lot of black Christians, so-called black Christians, they don't think that way. But you'll hear them in the churches, oh, what the devil meant for my bad, God will turn it into my good. Woo, woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why couldn't God take the evil of slavery and turn it into someone's good, though? Don't get me wrong, folks. Slavery was not a good thing. Like I said, the atrocities that occurred during slavery, the beatings, the raping, the separation of the families, it was not good. But here's the thing, too. Here's the kicker, too. Black people aren't the only people who went through slavery. I don't know why people don't understand that. Black folks are not the only people to have gone through slavery. But the host of this show, he was like, he went off. He just went off because he said, now, here's the AP history program saying the same thing, but you all only get your panties in a bind when Ron DeSantis says the very same thing they've been saying for decades. And not only that, but you have these people like Byron Donalds, who's supposedly a black conservative. They coming in talking about, hey, maybe you should tweak that language a little bit. It doesn't sound good. you know, because people going to think this and everything and stuff like this. And the host of this channel, he made a point. He said, you're not buying any favors with anybody. You think the Democrats are going to tell their fellow Democrats, hey, I wouldn't say it like that, you know, because some people might get offended. No, the Democrats, the liberal Democrats, they're going to dig their heels in. They don't care if they're right or wrong. They're going to dig their heels in. They're not even going to print retractions. They're just going to go silent and just slink away like the little snakes that they are. And I've been saying this for years. You all think by going out there and patronizing black folks, you think that's going to get the black folks to love you? These guilty white folks who want to side and say, oh, yeah, black folks, it was terrible. And I'm a white person, and I got privilege, and I am so sorry that I have privilege. I am sorry that my grandfather owned your grandfather in slavery. Oh, woe is us. Oh, golly gee, willikers, we are so evil. You think that's going to buy you any type? You think that's going to buy you any type of favor with black folks? Because you can sit there and patronize them all you want. But at the end of the day, they're still going to see you as a privileged white person. And if they get an advantage over you, they're going to beat you down. But hey, I love the black people. I fought for you people. Yeah, but you're still white. You're still white. They don't care. You can sit there and kiss their tails all you want to. You can do a slob job on their backsides all you want to. It's not going to gain you any favors. That's why you need to stick to your guns. Stick to your guns. Don't try to buy a favor with these people, because at the end of the day, they're not going to try to buy any favors from you. How many times do you see a liberal Democrat apologize for doing something bad against a conservative Republican? Tell me, when? Maybe it has happened, but you got to look for it. You got to search it on Google or something like that. But these people, they don't apologize. And you got these black conservatives, they over here trying to talk. This is why I would not vote for a Tim Scott. People always counting Tim Scott. Tim, oh, he's a black conservative. Something's wrong with him. But Tim Scott flip-flops a lot. And he's one of those flip-floppers on this black history curriculum in Florida. Byron Donalds. Byron Donalds, Tim Scott, probably some others. And then, you know, you got this witch of a vice president named Kamala Harris comes in and, you know, does her little shtick. Nobody ever points out that she is the great-granddaughter or granddaughter of a former slave owner. Her family, her ancestors owned slaves. Nobody points that out except for the conservatives. Nobody calls her out on it. But, you know, she's one of our black queens. She's a black queen, too. And she's really not a black queen. She's mostly Indian. And she can come up here and talk about how when she was growing up, you know, she celebrated Kwanzaa and that she was a member of a school that had been that had to be desegregated when she went there and all that crazy mess. Y'all listen to all them lies she says. And y'all just fall head over heels for it. But Ron DeSantis says the same thing that one of your boys have been saying for decades, and there's something wrong with it. Now, I have finally found the video, and see if I can get the sound up on this thing. It's called The Other Bush Family. I shared it on my Facebook page yesterday.
Overachievers who stand at the ready to serve their country. 19-year-old Gabrielle graduated college at 18 with a degree in health administration. Gabrielle, only a year later, she earned her master's. Her goal, Secretary of Health. 16 years old, her sister graduated high school and college in the same week. Now 18, right? But she just earned her master's in public administration.
My ultimate goal is to be the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
When the Bushes first born, Geishla, was 18 years old, she graduated college with a degree in urban design. 2 years later, she graduated again with a master's degree. At 21, she's already working in her chosen field. Before their advanced studies at Florida Atlantic University, the Bushes were homeschooled. Their younger brothers and sisters still are. Their tiger mother, an architect and an attorney herself, says she believes education is more than just books and memorization.
The secret sauce is dedication, commitment, perseverance, hard work.
A family to watch and a name to remember. That other Bush dynasty from South Florida.
This has to be America's most amazing family.
Meet the Bushes from South Florida. Overachievers who stand at the ready.
Now, folks. This is a Bush family. Their last names are Bushes, and they say it's the other Bush family because we know, you know, the prominent Bush family in Florida. You know, I'm not going to go there. But every last one of them are black. And there's no mistaking that they are black. Now, this is in present-day America. These kids graduated at 16 years old, 18. They say the one daughter, she graduated from high school and college in the same week. Y'all don't give me this garbage that white people are holding us back and keeping us from succeeding. And did you hear what the mother said? She said, perseverance, hard work. That's the secret sauce. Dedication. How many white people do you know who graduate from high school and college in the same week and gain their master's degrees for their 20 years old? How many of them do you know that do that?
But the white man's holding us back. We got to work twice as hard as the white man in order to achieve the same success that the white man has. Tell that to this family.
Tell that to this family. Tell it to them. They'll probably laugh at you. The one girl says she wants to be Chief Justice in the Supreme Court. She already graduated from high school and college. Every last one of them black. But you know why stories like this don't get pushed too much? You know why? Because the apostles of blackness don't want too many of these stories to get out there. Every now and then they'll mention some black person that won that gained a lot of good grades in the SAT and made it to college and they got their choice of college. Every now and then they'll bring you a story like that. But a story like this family right here, the mother and father, see, that's key. The mother and father teaching their kids how to be a success. Determination, dedication, hard work, perseverance. That's what they taught their kids. I wonder if they taught them, you got to work harder because the white man's going to, he's always out there trying to stop you. That lady didn't mention one thing about white folks holding them back. And we got more success stories like this in the country
but we don't want to push them because what we want to push is a perpetual victimhood mentality. We always want to push people that think a certain way, that the white man is doing this to us and that the white man is holding us back and that we can't succeed because the white man doesn't want us to succeed. And so we go crying to the government, who the government is mostly white folks, and telling them we want reparations, we want free stuff, we want you to give us a leg up, you know, lower our standards on the SAT than everybody else so we can have the same advantages that they do. But we choose to ignore stories like this one. I forget how many kids they had. My goodness, they had a lot of kids. They had a lot of kids. I saw at least 5. That might be how many it is. Oh, 6. And shows them playing, you know, playing instruments like a violin, cello. Got the little boy playing a violin. But, oh, we can't make it in the United States. We got to be special. But these degrees that these kids are earning, that these kids are getting, they earn these degrees. They earned them. And I guarantee you, their parents didn't say, okay, well, you know, we got to do things different because we's black and the white man is going to keep holding us back. Good grace, it might be 6 or 7 of them. The mother homeschooled them. The mother was a success herself. Their mother was a lawyer. And look at this, got the mother and father together. See, that's key. Look at this, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So you're telling me it's 8 kids. 8 kids and 2 parents. And see, why doesn't the root push stories like this? Why don't the apostles of blackness push stories like this, showing black success? And I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't taught this when I was a kid either. I wasn't taught excellence when I was a kid either. I wasn't taught to be excellent or anything like that. I wasn't taught any of that. Basically, what I was taught was, we're going to teach you one time, and if you don't get it that one time, there's no hope for you. No mistakes. That's what I was taught. I wonder if their parents taught their kids that too. I seriously doubt that. I seriously doubt that. I seriously believe that these parents taught their kids, hey, you're going to make a mistake, okay? It's fine. Just rise up out of your mistakes and just continue forward. A lot of us in black families, we're not taught that. Even the more successful black families, we're not taught you got to be excellent. You're taught, hey, you got to get all you can, put it in a can, and then sit on the can. And I can tell you, when I was growing up, we were taught that, you know, you can't make no mistakes. I was never taught to be excellent, to rise above my mistakes or anything like that. I was never taught that. But here you got this black family here, the Bush family in Florida. Kids not even 20 years old getting their PhDs. And not only that, when they graduate from college, a year later, they're getting their master's. But see, here's a problem in the black community. We're too lazy. We don't want to put in the hard work. We don't want to go through the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to become a success. We don't want to go through that. We want it easy because, you know, we were slaves one time. And the white man is still benefiting from slavery. So we need someone to help us get a leg up because the white man is always going to be pushing to keep us down. What about the black people who are pushing to keep you down? What about the black people who are pushing to keep you down? Because they exist too. I know it because I had someone keep me from getting a job at a fast food restaurant in 1984. Said he didn't want to work with my goofy My father laughed at me when I said I wanted to take up geography in college. Laughed at me. Not only that, he said, Vincent, you ain't gonna leave home until you 40 years old. You're gonna be living around here until you 40 years old. My dad told me that. My mom told me you won't be able to make it on your own. She even told me that if we were living in the days of slavery, said Vincent, you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it if we were living in the days of slavery. Now you all tell me, is that what a parent should be telling their children? Is that what a parent should be telling their children? I wasn't taught the excellence that the Bush family was. I mean, and you look at that family, they are so close. Oh my goodness. But what, see, people say it takes a village to raise a child. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't take a village. It takes dedicated parents. It takes a mother and a father. And not only that, not just a mother and father, but a mother and father who have reached who have crossed the threshold of maturity, because you got a lot of mothers and fathers out here. The reason why their kids aren't mature is because they haven't matured themselves. And so basically you're having kids, and they lack the skills to teach their children how to become mature, productive adults when they get older. That's the problem in the black, that is probably the number one problem in the black community. Now, don't get me wrong, there are single parents out there who are dedicated to their children and they push for their children for excellence, that they are the exception. So if you are a single parent and you're listening to me talking like this, but you're the type of person who is determined to make your child get ahead and succeed, I'm not talking about you. Only for the fact to say that you're the exception. You're not the norm. And we need more single parents like you. But studies have shown that children succeed better when they have a mother and a father in the house. And I'll go so far to say this. You have a mother and a father who have achieved the level of maturity. Because you got a lot of mothers and fathers, they're not raising kids of excellence because the parents are not mature themselves. They might be married and they might be in the house, but they are not mature. But even then, they say, even then, having a mother and a father in the house contributes to the success of their children. But anyway, we have gone to the end of the first hour. I am going to do the advertisements and everything, and I will see you guys on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck? The
biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and
wow.
our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, in the storm of any unplanned event, it is always best to gather all the information you can before planning your route. That is where CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque come in. Our services include pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STI testing, education, and after-abortion care. What most people do not realize is this. Men are involved in this, too. A large percentage of all abortions are perpetuated by the father of the baby. And we have female and male advocates at each center to meet and talk with those who come to our centers with questions. You can contact any of our centers here in Albuquerque for further information. There are two, with our Northeast office at 505-880-0862 and our Southwest office at 505-360-0090. Outside of Albuquerque are Edgewood at 505-281-5408, Rio Rancho at 505-896-2305, and Los Lunas also at 505-565-3838. That's CareNet of Albuquerque, where help is always there for those storms that are always just around the corner.
Welcome to the second hour of Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. If you would like to be a guest on the program, call in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-5284. And if you're coming into the show, if you're late coming into the show, you might be wondering why I am doing this so early, because I have a engagement to attend this evening. I'm supposed to be taking pictures at a banquet, and I decided to do an early show. And just to let you all know, next Saturday, I will not be having a show, being it will be the first Saturday of the month, and I will not have shows on the first Saturday of the month. But before I left, I was, you know, talking about, you know, this video by Black Conservative Perspective on YouTube, and this guy was just going off because he was talking about how people criticized Ron DeSantis for saying that blacks benefited from slavery, and the AP history the advanced placement, I think that's what it's called, advanced placement history program, have been saying the same thing basically for decades. But because Ron DeSantis said it, and we're conditioned to believe that Ron DeSantis, because he's a conservative, that he's a racist, so we just say, oh, yeah, he just said that because he's racist. But AP history program been saying it for decades. And he just went off, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to go into the chat room and see if I can, I don't know why I can't place nothing in the chat room. Sometimes I go on Blog Talk Radio and it is crazy. Let me do this. Because I wanted to share the link and you can see the video for yourself. Reason why I didn't show the video myself is because, you know, he goes off into some, you know, some foul language. And, you know, you can understand this brother's frustration. You know, how a lot of conservatives like to kowtow to the liberals. You know, because, you know, it's basically a patronization. But the liberals are not going to do the same thing. They're not going to respond. They're not going to respond in kind. You know, you never see the liberals, you know, compromise or anything, but you always see the conservative Republicans compromising. And you had this Congressman Byron Donalds, you know, saying that maybe they should have worded that a little different and everything. But if the liberals were to do it, they're not going to word anything different. Like I was telling my wife about Disney. She said, yeah, Disney gonna lose it. Then they're gonna have, I said, honey, Disney's not gonna give up. They're gonna dig their heels in. They're gonna lose their money and everything, but they're digging their heels in. And that's exactly what they're doing. They keep putting out garbage after garbage in the cinemas. They keep pushing it out. They keep pushing that garbage out. And people saying, you know, this movie sucks. Their movies are not making money, but they still sticking to that woke rhetoric. But us, we'll sit there and be like, oh, okay, well, maybe we went a little too far with what we said. We're sorry we offended you. These rascals, like, they'll never be sorry for offending you. When you tell them what you said offended them, well, I did, you know, they'll put it off on you. Well, you're just thin-skinned. You know, they'll say you're being thin-skinned. And that's why it offended you. But they're not going to sit there and apologize. So why do we do the same thing to them? That's the problem. But that's how it is when you live in a land of fruit bats. Folks, that's my fruit bat alert. That means I'm about to go to the phones, which you all know, those of you all have been on the phones, you know what the deal is. If you're coming through this program with excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to shorten your visit on this program real quick. So if you don't want to abide by the rules, I will be happy to oblige you. But having said all that, let me go to the first caller.
Man, them daggone fruit bats was beating on the window. It's about 11 o'clock this morning. And I said, what's wrong? I said, it ain't even nowhere near 4 o'clock. They almost start speaking the English language.
What's up, Bianchi?
You know, you put some good points out there. And, you know, the thing that you're talking about Byron McDonald. Is it McDonald's or Donald's?
It's Donald's.
Donald's, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. They shouldn't be compromising on that. They're talking about the history, right? And that slaves, well, anybody with any common sense know that slaves benefited from slavery. The people, let's just say the people that participated in it benefited from slavery, from the activity. They learned to do things that they could do here in this country that they was not doing back where they came from.
Exactly.
And you know they wasn't doing it back where they came from because people back where they came from got rid of them.
Yep.
And you don't get rid of something that's of use, pertinent use anyway. I mean, do people use any common sense?
No, I don't think so. It's like, beam me up, Scotty.
They don't use any common sense. If you had a herd of horses, you're going to put your best horse in the front. They're not going to be
in the
back. When you got a herd of good horses, a good cattle, you're going to scan the sale. You're not going to get rid of your best. You don't get rid of your best sire, whether it's a bull, whether it's a horse. You don't get rid of your best sire. Because
it
has the potential of replicating goodness. They get rid of that which is not doing anything or causing problems. Heck, if you got a car and the brakes don't work, what do? You take the old ones off and do what? You put new ones on.
That's right.
I mean, it sounds mean, but it's a reality, and people do it today. Your body do it. What do you think fecal matter is? It's something the body don't want. So those tribes got rid of those that they did not want thousands of years before they even met anybody with a white face. That's the way society, you know, they're more commonplace in some of these primitive societies. They don't have to come up with no complicated logical reasons. They're more commonplace in what they do. So any fool that said that, like they're trying to say, and you can name them. You can name the ones that done things, either as an apprentice in a slave condition or whatever. Anytime that you engage in an activity, you are learning. That's about information.
That's right.
That's how information, you know, first you got to take what you're experiencing and put it in a language. Then you got to be able to convey that language, convey that experience thought into a language. Then you got to put it on a medium that you can transport. You know, back in the day, they used to write stuff down or whatever and give it to somebody, and they ran to the next spot.
That's right.
To take it on. That's what they done. Africans use drums. What did the Indians use? Smoke, smoke signals.
Yeah.
Could you imagine trying to do a homework lesson with smoke signals today?
I mean, really.
The two mediums that came up, the two inventions that came up with electricity, and then wires, then a man by the name of Samuel Morse.
Yep. Morse code.
A white man, by the way. So it was not going on in Africa. In some places, they don't have no electricity reliable today.
Yeah, exactly.
In 2023. Oh, that's cool shit. Stuff about slaves built America, that's a bunch of malarkey. It was labor.
Yeah.
They were hired from the neck down, not the neck up. Now, there was some. There was some. And that's almost commonplace in this society. Y'all, we got some, always have some, seemingly, some extraordinary people that do things that is not commonplace within the population. That's just the way it is.
That's how it is everywhere you go. You're always going to have someone who stands out among the crowd. Some people are not going to stand out as much as others, but you're always going to have that person that stands out among the crowd in every country, every community you go to. That's just the nature of the beast, and I don't know why people don't understand that.
That's right. And what was the guy's name, Plume, the Frenchman, who came up with the whole idea about punch cards? They used to weave. They weave weaving machines. Used to be based on punch cards. You know what that was? That was the advent of bits and binary communication.
Exactly. And that came up to our modern-day personal computers.
It came up to our modern-day personal computer. Another guy later after that named Alan. Alan, I think he was from France, too. It didn't come from Africa. Harem. I can't keep all these names in my mind.
Yeah. Some of the names are hard to pronounce.
Hell, I hold an amateur extra class license. I had to, and you know, talk about examination, I had to demonstrate that I could receive and send Morse code at a certain speed. For my license, it was 20 words a minute. I knew some people that could do it at 40 and 60 words a minute. They'd be flying. Then out of that came what was called RTTY. Radio telegraph. And I would suggest, matter of fact, I'll do that with my latest sibling. They gonna learn Morse code. You know why? One reason they getting the pilot certification. When you tune into a device that's used for navigation, you got a communication radio and you got a navigation radio. When you turn to that navigation center, that navigation signal, in order for you to know you're on the right signal flying to the right destination, it identifies itself in Morse code. And you got to be able to read it. If not, you could be on the wrong city. You think you're going to Tampa and you headed to damn New Mexico.
Yeah.
Following that signal. Children should know machine language. They should know COBOL. They should know Fortran. They should know C++ Basic. They should know all those things.
Man, you sound like you can start your own computer class.
One of the breakthroughs that's going to come in coding is that rather than using its own particular language, it may develop into being able to code with the English language. So that would be a major breakthrough. You know, Africans come up with that. It ain't saying that they did. They had their time in the sun and time went on. Time and space. Time went on from that space. That's the way it does. And then it'll settle into another space, and good things, marvelous things come out of it because of the ingenuity that lies within the brain of human beings within that society.
So you mean to tell me that Al Sharpton was wrong? We didn't have the electricity and the modern civilizations and everything and stuff like that that he was talking about? Are you trying to tell
me
that?
Al Sharpton don't know. He don't know what the hell he's talking about. Thank goodness for, let's see, was it the Danish or the Dutch? Galileo. What was Galileo? Galileo was Dutch. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to peer off into space the way we wouldn't have binoculars. Wouldn't be able to look at microscopic cellular structures if it wasn't for the microscope. Well, will the optical microscope turn into electronic microscope? You can see further into the realm of that which you don't think exists, but it does.
Yes.
Now, for whatever reason, now you had blacks that contributed to it, but the infrastructure was always put in place by white males.
Exactly.
A blacksmith has to use what? Wait a minute, real quick. A blacksmith has to use what? He has to use an anvil made out of steel. You have to use a hammer made out of steel. Those innovations were not, those inventions were not put in place by somebody coming out of Africa. It was not using steel. It might have been using iron. It wasn't using steel. So if the infrastructure wasn't there, then they wouldn't have been able to go on further with the things that they could contribute to the overall gist of things. That's the way it is.
Yep. And see, here, I was watching a video a couple of months ago. I need to find out where I saw that video, that a lot of the inventions we attribute to black folks, they really didn't make those inventions. They may have improved on them, or, taken what someone else had done and, put their own spin on it, but they really didn't make the, they tell you that black people invented the traffic light. And that's not true, because
traffic light for what, horses?
Yeah, they invented, it was a switch. It was like a switch that said stop and go and stuff like that. But they'll say that the traffic lights that we see, that was invented by black folks, and it wasn't. Probably a white person saw it and said, hey, I can improve on this, and boom, that's when they put in the traffic lights. But for the most part, black folks did not invent the traffic light. There's a whole bunch of other inventions people attribute to black folks. And that's not saying that black folks did not have a part to play. Nobody's trying to downplay the influence of black folks in modern inventions. And, some people hear that and say, well, you're making it sound like we're dumb and all that. No, we did play a part in a lot of these inventions. But
you're absolutely right. Ivan Van Sermon wrote a book called Blacks Invention, or Blacks in Science, I think it was. It was Coretta. Yeah. It was a black female that developed the attributes to the Polaris missile to be able to launch from beneath the water. It was Carruthers who came up with the implementation of the camera that was used by NASA. Well, yes, blacks have done some great inventions, but the things that these idiots be talking about is totally, totally ridiculous. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They just read something. Then you got to use logic. You have to use logic. If you don't have logic to go along with your other perspective, then what you doing, you just running your mouth.
Yeah, that's the secret ingredient right there is logic. But a lot of people, sad to say, they abhor logic, so to speak. And so that's why a lot of times people, they just talk. I think that if you cut their brains open, cut their skull open, you'll just see emotions in a place of their brain, and every now and then those emotions leak from their skull into their mouths, and that's how they talk, So
you talk about Morris. Samuel Morris, he went through a lot of tragedy with death and his family and so forth.
Yeah.
But it was his parents that was committed to his education. And guess what? They instilled in him, guess what faith? The Calvinist faith, not the Christian faith. It was the Calvinist faith. There's two differences. Most of your founding fathers were Calvinists. They were not Christians. It goes to show you that you have a diverse ideological minds that have come along throughout the period of time.
Yes.
Where we are today did not always exist. And the thing about the United States, I think the United States is God's sin, really.
Yeah.
Because this country has came so far in such a small period of time. And something as even as middle school that we take for granted as aviation. And see, the thing that makes me worry is that there's a lack of pursuit and great expectations in education, which could take us on beyond where we are today, beyond the gravitational confounds of the earth, into that of what we call space and universe, space and time. And that's going to require some innovation. That's going to require some thoughts and dreams in order to come up with other proposals than what we use now in the form of heavy lift based on the burning of an inert fuel. And if you don't have your children involved in that type of exploration, if you just got your kids having a ball, they even bouncing the ball, throwing the ball, rolling the ball, or having a having a ball. And that's what blacks seem to be doing. Too many of them, not all, but a lot of the kids waste a lot of time. Now, you know, there's exercise that needs to be done. But when you put your hopes and aspirations in the one direction, that you know there ain't no possibility for somebody that's 5'2". Look at LeBron James. His son just had these medical problems. His aspirations for being with his father, guess where that goes now? It's out the door.
Mm-hmm.
He's never gonna be able to. He's never gonna be able to perform without in the back of that his mind. What else? What else is always gonna be there?
That's
and it's going to limit your full trust forward. Because if you get to the point where if you reach that level where things went sour, you always going to pull up short of that point in the future. It's just like a car.
That's true.
I'm driving down the highway, then when I reach 90 miles an hour, then the engine blows. Well, the next time I get it fixed, I'm not going to go to 90. I'm going to go to 85, maybe 80.
That's right.
Because I know if I go to 90, it's going to blow up. Anyway, what else going on?
Let me keep you there. I got another caller here. Let me get this call. I think I know who this is.
Man.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, between you and Pyongyi, man, what am I going to have to add to this here conversation? So I got to work now to do that. And by the way, you know, I'm looking at, you know, you on the air this early. At first I thought it was disinformation from fruit bats trying to sabotage you, you know, your show. That's what I thought it was at first. I'm glad you came up with the explanation, so now I'm reassured. But anyway. Yeah, I would like to try to elaborate on this conversation. I'd like to start with that blithering moron.
Hey,
that
Sarge. Hey, Sarge, could I say something before you get started?
Be my guest, sir.
Vincent is one of the most intelligent people I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to listen to shows where blacks used to just denigrate this person. Oh, you're a sample. You're a coon. And all that crazy stuff. They used to denigrate, but when I get to know him, he's one of the most intelligent people in many disciplines that I know. Go ahead, Sarge.
Thank you. That's a high praise indeed coming from you, sir, because you are truly a man of accomplishment, kind of guy in many respects. I wish I had been able to attain many of your statuses. I really appreciate you saying that. So in that spirit, I would like to try to live up to that high praise by saying that when we got a blithering moron of a vice president demagoguing the way she does, and I really found it fascinating that she really was worked up in a passion about this. Now, I was immediately said to myself, why can't you get this worked up over the invasion of the southern border, Madam Czar? You're the border czar.
Yeah.
How come you can't get this worked up over our country being invaded? You know, but anyway, you got to remember, when you listen to the left and many of their complaints, you are listening to people who are skilled at only one thing, only one thing. The acquisition of power, number one, and number two, the ability to tear down institutions and after they're torn down, cannot replace them with anything anywhere close to approaching the value of what they have destroyed. That's the only thing the left communists have any skill at whatsoever, because when it comes to governing, they are abysmal. Their record is historical, and it's everywhere you go in the world. And let's face it, Kamala Harris is just a perfect example of a useful idiot, fellow traveler stooge for the left. She knows nothing. Yeah. She has no real accomplishments. She has no brain. Yama's today, I don't think she really has a real functioning brain. I mean, in the functional sense. But there she is, spewing her nonsense. And let's take a look at what she said. She didn't try to accurately report what the Florida African-American curriculum purports to accomplish, because to accurately state it would not make her case to demagogue against it. So she has it distorted. She literally said something it didn't say. It never said, not even for a microsecond, that slavery benefited black people. That's not what the course said. The course said that black people, being resilient, strong, enterprising, were able to acquire skills when they were enslaved that redounded to their benefit while they were enslaved and after they were released from slavery. That is simply a historical truth. It is not a lie. It is not a distortion. It is literally the historical truth. Now, I'm going to give you, buttress what I'm saying, I'm going to give you two examples from history. Number one, this is a gentleman who's not that well known, but he's significant historically. His name was William Ellison. He was born a slave, born into slavery. While he was enslaved, he learned how to become a very skilled cotton gin maker. Now, you can imagine, if you know how to make and employ cotton gins, it doesn't matter whether you're a slave or white man or whatever, your skills are going to be very much demanded in the South, and they were, because master would loan him out to other plantation owners, and he would do projects for them. He would earn money. Of course, his master would take most of it, but he allowed him to keep some. And that money he saved up, and he used the money he saved as a result of the skills he acquired during slavery. As a result of that, he was able to manumit himself from his master. He literally purchased his freedom owing to his skill. He went on. Now, get this. He went on to become a plantation magnate and slave owner. He probably one of the biggest slave owners in North Carolina. He had 58 slaves. He had a 900-acre plantation. It was valued then at about $63,000 or so, which is equal to over $2 million in purchasing power today. He was a major plantation and slave owner. It is impossible to tell his story and place it in the context of history unless you also explain that the reason he was so successful, you want to put it that way, is because of the skills he got as a slave. But I got an even more pertinent example that more people can relate to because they know much more about this guy. This guy's name is, guess who? Brother, formerly Brother Malcolm Little, renamed Malcolm X. Now, the people who lament the 13th Amendment and its provision allowing people to be enslaved when you have been duly convicted of a crime, because that is true, the Constitution does allow you to be enslaved if a state decides they want to enslave you when you've been duly convicted of crime. So if the state decides they want to do it, doesn't require them to do it, but it allows for it if you've been convicted of a crime. So Malcolm X was, according to these complainers, he was enslaved in the Massachusetts correctional system in 1945 for burglarizing wealthy white families. And he was transferred to Norfolk Prison County in Massachusetts. While he was there, he met a convict named John Bembry. This guy was self-educated, and Malcolm X, in the autobiography of Malcolm X, described him as the first man I'd ever seen command total respect with words. And because of Bembry's tutoring, Malcolm said he developed a voracious appetite for reading. Now, get this. This is a quote from the autobiography of Malcolm X. Between Mr. Muhammad's teachings, my correspondence, my visitors, and my reading of books, months passed without my even thinking about being in prison. In fact, up to then, I had never been so truly free in my life. This is what Malcolm X wrote. While he was enslaved as a prisoner in the Massachusetts Correctional Colony. Now, reading is probably, in a literate civilization, technological advancement, the most important single skill you can have. And he developed that skill while he was enslaved in prison. This is, I can give you literally dozens of examples historically of slaves who were imprisoned in slavery, and use what they learned as slaves to better themselves, their community, their families, and the United States. It is simply a true fact. You cannot tell a history of slavery, an accurate, fully contextualized, and accurate history of slavery, unless you include the fact that many slaves didn't just sit around and say, woe is me, oh, master, so mean, it's all Simon Legree. Those slaves also decided to take unto themselves the ability and the opportunities to learn trades and skills. Ironsmithing, blacksmithing, carpentry, masonry, all sorts of skills that were useful to themselves and others and when they left slavery. Now, finally, if you will indulge me, there's a learned scholar, a brilliant gentleman, black African-American scholar named William Allen. He was one of the developers of the African Studies program down in Florida. He helped to develop the very curriculum that this idiot and these other fools were deriding without even reading it and knowing what it says. And this is what, if you let me play it, I'll let you listen to what he said on Jesse Waters, when Jesse Waters was having an interview with him about this, because you ought to hear this brilliant scholar explaining the purpose of the curriculum and what it was meant to accomplish and refuting what Kamala Harris said. Would you like to hear
it? Yes, go ahead.
Here we go. Check this out.
In the case that Africans proved resourceful, resilient, and adaptive, and were able to develop skills and aptitudes which served to their benefit, both while enslaved and after enslavement.
Well, what ABC didn't air was this.
The only criticism I've encountered so far is a single one that's articulated by the vice president, and which was an error. I stated in my response to the vice president category before. It was never said that slavery was beneficial to Africans. What was said, and anyone who reads this will see this with clarity, it is the case that Africans proved resourceful, resilient, and adaptive, and were able to develop skills and aptitudes which served to their benefit, both while enslaved and after enslavement.
Now, one of the authors of the Florida curriculum, Dr. William Allen, joins me now. So, Dr. Allen, why do you think Kamala Harris is being dishonest about what's being taught about slavery?
Permit me not to give you Kamala Harris's motive. They're invisible. I don't know them. We can all have suspicions that there's a dishonest purpose afoot. But what's more important than that dishonest purpose is the truth. And this curriculum is devoted to telling the truth, whereas Kamala Harris has retailed a lie. Now, it may only have been a falsehood the first time she stated it, but when you repeat a falsehood, it becomes a lie.
Tell her right now, specifically this component of the slavery course teaches.
Permit me to have Frederick Douglass tell her. He wrote an autobiography in which he described how the mistress of his slave owner began to teach him to read. She pulled back the curtain through which a glimmer of light shone before the master forced her to close it. But that glimmer of light was enough for Frederick Douglass to illumine a bright flame that he exploited to his benefit and his country's benefit thereafter. Such examples are numerous, and they're retailed in the stories of people who suffered the indignity of slavery time and again. Curriculum is about is having people who live the experience, who live the history, tell their story. And nothing is more important than that we never, ever erase the stories that the people who live the stories tell. No one has the right to interpret before first understanding the stories of people who live them understood them themselves.
Are there academics that disagree with your scholarship?
Well, there are certainly academics who call it a contest. whether to consider him a constitutional an academic or not may be questionable, but she has a great last question. Because what is being done here is the attempt to create stories for our time and impose them on people who told their stories in their own time, thereby erasing their stories. And that means my story, by the way. After all, my great-grandfather came to this country through fraudulent inducement, looking for opportunity only to find himself a slave. But he had the pluck to seek opportunity. And that pluck that he brought with him provided the skill, provided the initiative that allowed him post-slavery to establish his family securely. And this is the story of millions of people. Those stories must be told as people who experienced them. And no one should be allowed to erase those stories.
Why do you think some people are uncomfortable having a conversation about the graphic and real nature of what slavery was like?
Because they have an agenda. They don't want slavery to be told from a certain perspective. Indeed,
there it is.
But they are accusing the workforce that developed the curriculum of embracing the positive good school of slavery. That 19th century abuse, which I had refuted in my scholarship and many other people besides, these people are saying this is what's being presented in court. It's an absolute falsehood. If anybody is presenting the positive good school of slavery, it's the heirs of Tawney and Woodrow Wilson, who continue to propagate the false fiction that the birth of the nation was nothing but slavery. I can point out quickly enough, Frederick Douglass and Ida B. Wells in 1893 demonstrated in protesting the exclusion of blacks from the World Fair of 1893 that mixed felt that the accomplishment of black people's forced slavery was the accomplishment not just of black Americans, but the accomplishment of American principles. And that is the truth that people seek to deny by erasing the stories that people have went through the history.
For Dr. Allen, thank you for seeking the truth. I wish more people could have this honest conversation.
See, that's what I mean. This really is the good to bottom line here, brother Vince and brother Bianchi and all your listeners out there. This is about destroying, negating, and eliminating the principles of the Constitutional Republic that was founded by people, many of whom were slave owners. And by the standards of today's time, were racist and bigots. But nonetheless, The framework they laid down was the greatest framework ever in the history of mankind for individual liberty and civil governance. And because it is an impediment to the goals of the Marxists and the leftists, they must destroy it by going after its origins in the 18th century in order to implement some new tyrannical totalitarian horror in the 21st century, and we must not let ourselves be dissuaded from this because that is their ultimate objective.
Yep.
And even an idiot like Kamala Harris, she's too stupid to know she's being used as a tool like that. She is truly an idiot, but she's only a symptom of what this problem is.
That's right.
You can't blame those people in the 1800s. The commodity was accessible to them because it was provided on the continent of Africa. Black people got rid of black people. That's where
it
began.
And not only that, it was a universal institution around the world. It preexisted the founding of the United States. Now, yes, if you want to say they made a devil's bargain with it in deciding to do the three-fifths clause and forbidding the importation of slaves after 1808 and all that sort of thing. Okay, they did. But it was the 18th century. I'm sorry. I'm not going to judge people living in the 18th century by these standards of the 21st century with transgenderism and rampant abortion everywhere. I don't want to hear a damn thing from these people about morality, given the morality of today compared with the morality of the 18th century. I ain't hearing it. Not until you start looking in the mirror.
And you know what made the slaves valuable? It's what they learned while they were a slave where they came from.
That's right.
Yeah, well, slavery existed everywhere where they came from.
Yeah, they learned that where they came from. And then some of them was doing some multitasking, like doing good things and doing bad things, and they got reprimanded for the bad things that they done. And that reprimand constituted what's called restitution, which they wasn't able to come up with. So they got sold off.
You know, but listening to Mr. Allen, a truly learned scholar, a man who spent his entire adult life to study, particularly Black American history and study, and listening to him in contrast to the moronic ravings of Kamala Harris is such a refreshing contrast. I said to myself, thank you, sir, for your erudition and your recounting of accurate, contextualized history, of which we need much more of. I applaud this course. I applaud what they're doing in Florida. It's not a bad thing. It is a complete thing. It makes history more complete, more contextualized, and a better ability. Leftists are always talking about nuance. Unless it comes to something that runs afoul of their particular machination, then they don't want to hear a damn thing about nuance.
Democrats are using these people for one simple reason, votes. That's the whole thing about, and I hate to say this, everybody don't need to be able to vote. Believe it or not, because the avenues that they use, that they take in order to get to the decision of who and what to vote for is corrupt.
Well, I tell you, Bianchi, I'd like to repeal the 26th Amendment. I'd say bring the voting age back up to 21 or older. I mean, I'm thinking about what a goofus I was in 18. I didn't have no damn business voting whatsoever.
And once you're right. You got people that don't know how to take the necessary steps.
It wasn't until the Army put some kind of sense of responsibility in me that I began to understand my duties and obligations.
You got people who don't understand the necessary steps and procedure how to prevent gonorrhea and syphilis as voting.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Well,
I mean, for real.
Like I said, you know, repeal the 26th Amendment and let the states go back to deciding, you know, much of how election things will be. As long as they don't abridge any privilege that one citizen in a state has that are comparably situated, then I don't have any problem with whatever they come up with.
That's crazy, man. And I don't even know why that is a discussion in a... Your kids can't do math and they can't read. So what are you going to contrive this history in? Braille?
That's true.
Yeah, Black people invented Braille. Black people invented Braille, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. They can't. And you know why they don't want to talk about that? Because now you start shining the light. On one of their greatest constituents, and that's the teachers' unions.
Oh, man. Yes.
And the racket that they're going on. These Black kids, not all of them, too many of them, when you look at these data, and I don't put the data out, they have to put it out themselves on your Philadelphia, your Baltimore, your St. Louis. They can't read and they cannot do math. I mean, the principalities, I'm not talking about math. They can't do arithmetic, some of them.
Yeah, basically.
And what does that come play in their lives?
Subtraction, division, and multiplication. We're talking about basic. I'm talking about even algebra and geometry.
Basic. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and short division, not long
short
division.
Yeah, short division, right. God.
I mean, for real.
Yeah. And like I said, they have a monopoly on every big city in the nation where Black population is concentrated, and we're wondering why Black people cannot pass, but they're not competitive at elite Ivy League universities. We're wondering why that is and why do they need to have this racial preference and affirmative action. There's your answer. Monopolies of the teachers' unions and the corruptions that they engender.
You know, Teach for America broke the contract that they had for teaching in St. Louis. You know, these teachers go to college and they are, some of their cost of their college is foregone, the fact that they have to come and teach in deprived, quote-unquote, area. Well, they broke the contract with St. Louis, and basically what they're saying, and I've heard it before, and I hate to tell you, they say that these children are just unteachable. The way they come to the classroom, and see, the teacher had nothing at all involved in the preparation of a child that's supposed to come to a classroom and receive information that can further that. They have nothing to do with that. They are unteachable, and that is true.
That's right.
I've had people that you couldn't teach to do the things that they think that they can do. They can't do it.
Yeah.
And the attitude, especially in my industry, they end up getting killed. Hell, I know a black man. Wait a minute. I know a black man that was working, and I don't know if he worked for me or working for somebody else. One minute he's standing on the floor, the next minute he's down there on the ground. Luckily, he was only on the first floor. It was at St. Louis Center. St. Louis Center was the project.
They bring with them to the classroom a contempt for those who can speak English properly, who want to learn, who volunteer for assignments, and to answer questions posed by the teacher. The contempt that these bullies who have this overly developed, improper sense of self-esteem, to the exclusion of the self-esteem that comes that you receive from accomplishment and learning, and frequently they are bullies, and teachers there who oftentimes, more often than not, women, cannot project the proper authority to get these kids in line in all too many cases. That's why there's such chaos in many of these schools in these big cities. I mean, it's an absolutely chaotic environment. And, you know, we don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about structural racism. It's insane.
Yeah.
And they want to blame it on white folks. I never seen a group of people with so much fascination by blaming whites for every goddamn thing. I'm starting to get jealous. And, you know, he don't even spread to the military. Look at that video I sent you, texted you, Vincent. I texted you today. I said, this SHIT has to stop. It's where a person in a U.S. military uniform speaking in Spanish. What in the heck is going on?
Well, you mean you speak the Spanish and to the exclusion of being able to speak English?
Well, can you imagine making a charge of having a recon and you communicating and they don't know how to speak English? What good is
it? Exactly.
Well, the Army run into a problem like this in the First World War when they drafted large numbers of immigrants into the Army, particularly from Eastern Europe and Southern Europe, into the Army who could barely speak English or not at all. But the Army had a crash program to teach them the language skills they needed to get in order to be able to communicate in a military sense. They didn't sit there and say, oh, diversity, we're going to welcome you into the Army. We want you to maintain your cultural identity. They said, oh, hell no. You're going to be in the Army. You got to learn how to speak English so you can get orders from your officers, your non-commissioned officers.
That's right.
If you want to read up about that, there's a book called Lost Battalions by an author named Richard Slotkin, and he goes into great detail. He describes the problems the Army had with all these immigrants from Eastern Europe and Southern Europe, particularly who couldn't speak English or very little, and the problems they had getting them in the Army. But they were able to make very effective soldiers out of them. And he also goes into a great big chapter about black troops, African Americans, many of whom were South and who were so illiterate, functionally illiterate, they had much the same problem as they had with the European immigrants, and they were able to do somewhat of the same thing with them. It's a fascinating book. I recommend it highly. It's called Lost Battalions, the Art of Reading Change.
Okay.
What time do you leave off, Vincent?
I got about 4 more minutes.
4 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there ain't much more to talk about. But I was going to talk about what people can do. You know, I was looking at a world United Nations and World Bank survey on the cost of electricity. Cost of electricity in Nigeria is 20 cents a kilowatt hour. Cost of electricity in Missouri is about 6 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, that just goes to show you, even though they got the equipment and the technology that's produced in the West, they still can't get it together.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for an opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you gentlemen coming on today, and I was pleasantly surprised that you all even came on as early as I'm having a show today, and I wasn't really expecting anyone to come on, but this has been a pleasant surprise, you know, and I appreciate it. You know, next week I won't be having a show because, you know, that's the first of the month, so I won't be doing a show next week, but, you know, and it seems like when I have the biggest break, you know, the 2 week break and whatever, it seems like so much stuff happens. It's almost like you want to do a show every day, you know, and you seem like you got to catch up and like, okay, this is what happened 2 weeks ago and, you know, and everything, but, you know, it's all good. You know, as long as, you know, news keeps happening, hey, I'll always have a show, you know, and everything. But I really appreciate you guys coming on here because I'm still trying to give kudos to Pianchi last week when he gave me the name of that black guy who owned the car dealership, I think it was, you know. And turns out I wasn't the only one that didn't know about that. I had quite a few people didn't know about that black man. And I was like, you know, they don't teach us this stuff. And it's not the white man holding us back. I believe it's black folks because they don't want to put that story out there that black folks can do anything
a
white person can do because they want to keep on Yeah, and he was a slave, yeah. Yeah.
He started the manufacturing. Now, he didn't invent, because he had to use an English-made Continental engine, and the steel, and he was working in a white man's blacksmith shop. But he was able to construct what became an automobile. It was a Jenny. It was like a milk carriage. Even before Ford. Even before Henry Ford.
You say he used a Liberty engine?
He used a Continental engine.
Continental.
Used to make engines. I had a horse engine and had a Continental engine in it. And we used the chassis.
Right.
Gasoline.
Yeah, hey, send me that email too, man. I like to look at it.
If you didn't send it to me again, please. I just got my computer back up and I took my main. Then I get that somewhere.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to exit off the show. I got to get ready for my engagement tonight. Appreciate you guys. You all take care, you know. Hey, keep standing. Keep standing for the truth. thank you, Robert Garding. Thank you there. You guys, you know, just keep standing for the truth. Keep yourselves informed of what's going on and whatever. You all stay safe out there. This is Benson E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I shall see you on the rebound. You all have a great week.